Well, good morning, and it is good to see you all here. And boy, I tell you what, the weather today is 100 times better than yesterday. Yesterday was so hot outside, I don't think that I spent a whole lot of time outdoors. I was inside more than out. But you know, it's good to be alive. It's good to be in God's house. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I tell you what, when we sing patriotic songs like that, it makes my heart just overwhelm with joy. Because, you know, if you think about it, all that God's given to us and all that He's blessed us with, we know that God loves us and we know that God cares about us. And the thing that really thrills my soul is every man and every woman that one at one time in their life signed their name on a dotted line and they raised their right hand and they were sworn into the military and they went and fought or worked for the freedom of our country in some way. And it's been that way for many years and many generations. And I am so thankful for every man and woman that served our country or is serving our country now. But I thank God because He gave us His Son Jesus that we would have a way to have the penalty of our sins paid for by that shed precious blood. And that's why I want to preach today about God cares for you. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, starting in verse 5, and I'm going to read through verse 14. If you're able, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 14. I was going to start on the wrong verse. You younger men likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you, all who are in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your wonderful and holy and powerful word. And God, let your word penetrate our hearts and our lives. And may we obey it. May we feed on it. And Father, as we feed on your word, we will be led by your word. We will be guided by your word. And we will be strengthened by your word and your power. Father, today, speak to us through your Holy Spirit in this message. Have your way, Lord God, and we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question right now, and this is something I want you to think about. Do you realize how much God really loves and cares about you? Have you ever heard someone refer to the term, do you really think about what you're thinking about? You ever heard that said? I have quite a, and just the other day, I heard a preacher on the radio, and he was saying, do you ever think about what you're really thinking about? And if we really reflect back on God and His great and perfect and powerful love for us, we can clearly see that God does love and care for us. Now, Peter, in his writing, he was closing out his letter to the Christian people, and he was trying to remind them how much God did love and care for them. And Peter shared a series of admonitions, something that as they heard it, they could take it personally into their hearts, and it was something for them to think on, feed on, and meditate on, because when we get our minds focused on God, and that's one thing God wants us to do. God wants us to put our minds on Him, not anything else of this world, because you know what, folks? The things of this world do not matter above the Lord. They just don't. But so many people, they get all caught up in what's going on in the news or the government or whatever. And the devil uses that as a tool to to drive your mind and your thoughts away from God. Because what's the one thing the devil wants to do? He wants to separate. He doesn't want to see you get close to God, because the devil knows if we get close to God, he knows that God will work in our life, and he knows that we will be an effective witness. But if the devil can put things in our path to divert our attention away from God, number one, he's got us hooked. And it's up to us to choose how long we let the devil lead us down a dark and lonely path. And I've talked to so many people in my life that have said, I wish I could quit worrying. I go, well, why do you worry? Well, they go, I don't have nothing else to do. Well, okay, well, right there. If you don't have nothing else to do, you got the Bible to read, you got two knees if you're able, or you can just sit in your chair, whatever, and start to pray. Start to communicate with God. But the first thing that Peter was writing to the Christians that we have to do is we have to submit to authority. Verse 5 said that we should be subject to our elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submitting to authority. Well, first, we have to submit ourselves to God. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Submit yourself to God. See, God is our supreme authority. God knows everything about your life and mine. And if God knows everything about our life, then you know that He's going to provide for you at the right time. We're going to walk through valleys. We're going to walk through trials. We're going to go through some pretty deep stuff in life. And we will never make it through those trials or those storms of life unless we are walking hand in hand with God the Father and trusting Him to lead our life. But we have to submit to Him in every way. Basically, you have to empty yourself of everything. You've got to give it all to God. You have to approach His throne daily, multiple times each day. Father, I give You my heart and my life. I make myself last and I make You first because You know everything. And when I walk in Your footsteps and follow You by faith, I know that You will lead me gently to a wonderful victory. See, and here's what I want you to see. At the end of life, there's certain victory because when you take your last breath here, you're going to step right over into glory. And for all of eternity, no more weeping, no more death, no more sickness, no more pain. That's what I think God, that's one of the things I really believe God wants us to focus on. Because the Bible tells us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy and where thieves will break in and steal. But the Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust won't destroy anything and thieves cannot break in and steal. So basically, submitting to God means you're giving God your heart and life and you're allowing Him to work through you, and that no matter what you go through, you're going to praise Him and you're going to be joyful. Now, I've had some people say to me, how do you expect me to praise God when I've lost a spouse or a child or a loved one, family member, or a dear friend? How am I expected to be joyful? Because the Bible says, count it all joy when you what? Does anybody know? What was that, Sarah? That's right. Very good. When you suffer trials, be joyful. Now, I'm telling you what, you're going to feel pain because Jesus felt pain when He was in the physical body. He experienced all kinds of emotions, but you know what Jesus did? He remained joyful. He praised God the Father. He submitted Himself daily to His Father's will. And if we will just take the opportunity every moment of every day and lift our hearts toward heaven and just praise God and worship God, sing to Him, pray to Him, in those dark and troublesome times, God will lift you and He will lift your heart up. Yes, you're going to physically feel funny. You're going to feel like things are way out of place. Things aren't going to really line up like they should. But I'm going to tell you this. When you start to praise God in the Spirit, He's going to lift your spirit. And when you start to praise Him, you are opening up a door. You are giving God the opportunity to pour Himself into your life. Now, we also have to submit to spiritual discipline. And that frees us from the everlasting burden of always needing to get our own way. Boy, how many times have we heard that? I want my way. Well, I'm guilty of that. Many times. And you know what? I'm still probably going to be guilty of it day after day. God, I know that you said this or you want me to submit to that. But Lord, I've got this idea. I've been working on this. And man, it just came to me like that. And sometimes God says, I want you to quit forgetting about what you thought about. And I want you just to focus on me. See, I want to walk in the ways of the Lord. I want to be disciplined in His commandments and His word so that I don't have to suffer discipline. See, God cares for us so much that even when we do fail, He will discipline us. He's a loving God. How many times did your parents tell you, I love you, but you did wrong, and what I'm about to do, it's going to hurt me more than it hurt you? Because really it does. A parent doesn't want to have to discipline their kid, but when the kid won't listen, and to get that kid in order, That bottom has to be paddled. And this is what I heard. I think it was Bill Cosby said it this way. He said, I found out, he said, when that bottom got paddled, he said, there's nerves connected. And those nerves go from the seat up to the brain. And he said, I've hoped many times that when I discipline my kids, that them nerves would get that brain set just right. They'd start listening to what I had to say and what I wanted them to do the right way. And sometimes I'm like that. I'm like, God, I'm sorry, Lord. I did wrong. And Lord, if you have to discipline me, then you do what you got to do to open my eyes. Because I want to correct and do better in my life for you. Next, Peter was expressing how much we need to embrace humility. Practicing humility means that we never think of ourselves as greater than anyone else or even God. There are people who do think they are above God, and boy, are they walking in some dangerous shoes. But we are to fulfill... I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong line. We are to be obedient, humble, lowly servants. Humbleness. Oh, my goodness. You know, there's the most dumbest song I think I ever heard on the radio when I was a kid. And I think Mac Davis sings it. But one day the song come on and the song goes, oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking. And I thought, what trash? It is. It's trash. See, God is the one who's supreme. God is the one who's perfect. We're not. We have to humble ourselves before the mighty presence of God. When I said we have to get rid of us, we make ourselves last and make Him first. We have to realize, and we also have to realize that our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not above them either. We are all on the same level. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what part of town you live in. It don't matter what kind of job you have or what country you come from. It don't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. Every single one of us were created in the likeness of God, and we are all the same. We are all the same. But you know what I get a kick out of? I do. I laugh about this, and sometimes Janine has to hit me and discipline to straighten me up. But I'll see people, and you know, they got degrees, they got a doctor or whatever, and I'm not making fun of anybody that's got a doctor. I'm not. But it's just, I find it because they walk around with a haughty look on their face, and they got the finest of clothes, they got a big old fancy car, live in a big house. Boy, they just think they're it. And they think that nobody's above them. And you know, the Bible talks about pride. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins. Pride goeth before destruction. So see, when we walk in pride, we're setting ourselves up for a great and mighty fall. But when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and we realize that all of us are in this Christian life together, and we realize that we have to love one another as God loves for us, we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, help me to love the ones that I go to church with. Help me to embrace who they are. Because I'm telling you what, not a single one of us have the same personality. Not a one of us see things the exact same way. That's what's amazing about God, that He gave us all our own unique identity and personality. But here's what God expects us to do, to look beyond all that and look at the heart of every single person we come in contact with from day to day, and that we love them no matter how irritating they are. There's some people, I've told Janine before, I said, I wish I had a dowel rod. And she goes, why? I says, because I'd like to give a few people a good whack over the head with it and try to knock them back in line. And she says, you remember that you've got faults too. And I go, yes, I know. So I eat a slice of humble pie And I say, okay, Lord, I need you to get me back in line now. But see, when we walk in humility together and we love together, we can accomplish so much more for our Heavenly Father. And what He's wanting to do within the body of believers, He is able to accomplish that. But if we're working against each other, if we've got pride, if we've got unforgiveness, if we've got hatred or anything negative in our hearts toward anybody in the church or outside the church, whatever it may be, God cannot work in unison with us. God cannot work in people basically who live in chaos and confusion. We have to take our burdens to the Lord. The Bible says that we should cast all of our anxieties upon God, trusting in His might and His care to fulfill the specific promises that He makes to His children. And I read that to you in verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, I've had some people tell me, now, Brother Jim, I just hold on to stuff. Well, why do you hold on to stuff? Well, because I don't want to overburden God. I don't want to take my problems to God because He's heard enough for me. Well, I'm going to tell you something about God. God is so holy and so powerful and so mighty, you're not going to scare God away with your troubles. Do you know that? God does not sit on His throne and say, oh no, it's Milton again. He's going to... God doesn't get a handkerchief out and wipe His forehead and wring His fingers together. That's not God. God is sitting there with an open heart and open arms to us. And God is saying, I want you to bring your troubles and trials to me. What troubles you, I want you to get it out and get rid of it so that my power can be at work in your life. God doesn't get anxious because you are. There is nothing negative about God. God is perfect. God is love. God even said that He is I am. He's the one. Now, if He created the world and the outer space and He put everything into order and He created us, then don't you think He can handle all of our problems? I think He can. I know He can. But so many people walk around lost, distorted. They walk around trying to solve everything their own way. I always like the ones who come up with their own philosophies. They think, well, I've got this worked out. You tell me the outcome of that later. I want to do it God's way. Now, I'm guilty of it too. I am. I've had my own ways and I've applied them. And I told God, not this time, let me do it my way. Well, it didn't turn out very pretty, I'll tell you that. Verse 8 tells us to be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like. I want you to pay attention to these words. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And it says he is seeking someone to devour. So from that, we have to be alert, sober-minded. Basically, we have got to stay in touch with God. We've got to remain in such constant fellowship because the devil is out there waiting to trip you up. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, how did Jesus handle his situations? He didn't sit there and go, oh, I hope God could handle this. I hope my Father can do this for me. No, Jesus spoke the word. He spoke His Father's word against the devil, and the devil would flee from Him. If we would practice, put it into practice daily, reading God's word, and hiding His Word in our heart so that we don't sin against the Lord. And we realize that Satan's out there, and the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. It doesn't say that he is a lion. So see, the devil's out there just making a bunch of noise. That's all he's doing. What does a lion do when it roars? It makes a bunch of noise. And what happens? Now if a lion's 5 feet from you, then yes, I would be a little intimidated. If there's a lion roaring and he's 5 feet from me, I guarantee you I'm going to run. And I may walk on water if there's water nearby. I don't know. But the devil is seeking someone to devour. Who is he seeking? He is seeking the person that's not walking with God. He is seeking the Christian who's living life by their own standards and how they see things. He is seeking out the one who doesn't read and pray daily. He is seeking the one that's got the weak spots in their life or in their spiritual walk with the Lord. And the first thing the devil wants to do is jump on those weak moments or those weak areas, and he wants to try to shake them even more. What does a lion do when it attacks its prey? It sneaks along. I was watching a video the other day, and this lion was approaching a baby ox, and that lion was down in the grass. This big old thing, and that ox didn't know it was behind it. And next thing you know, that lion jumped on that baby ox and sunk its teeth into it. That's what lions and tigers and cougars and all that do. They get their prey. I'm not going to go into full detail because it's pretty gross. But anyway, they suffocate the life out of them. They want to kill them. And that's what the devil's doing. The devil is trying to grab you, not by your neck. He wants to grab your mind. He wants to get a hold of your mind. And he wants to choke out the life that's in you. He wants to choke out God's Word. And he wants to leave you empty and void and helpless. And if the devil can get us to that place where he tears us up, if we let the devil kill us, then we're the ones that were responsible for letting it happen. So the Bible says in verse 9 that we should resist him. We are supposed to stand firm in our faith, knowing that our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in this world, according to verse 9, they've suffered the same way that you and I have. Somewhere, somebody is going through something, you just don't know about it because they haven't said anything. They haven't made it known to the world. Some people get on Facebook or social media and boy, they just empty their garbage out there and let everybody see it. Well, that's the thing that I don't like is all that social media garbage and people get out there and they tell everybody what's going on. But anyway, everybody's going through something. And that's where God loving us and caring for us expects us to reach out with our hearts to those who are going through other circumstances. I mean, you know, this friend of mine, Billy Heidi, he passed away and 52 years old. He had some health issues. And now, you know, he's gone. His wife's left behind. And I can't even begin to imagine what they've been going through. But what I could do is I could reach out in love. And I could minister to those family members. I could share what God has done for me. And you know what? Sometimes we go through things in life because God will put us in the path of somebody else who's going through the exact same thing. And when God led you through a valley and brought you to a mountaintop, and you see somebody else going through that same valley, you can reach out to them and say, "This is what God did for me." Humble yourself. Reach out to them in love. Make yourself last and make God first and watch what God can do. And let God move through you. Let God minister through you to that person because that's what we're here for. If God loves us and cares for us that much, then He expects us to do that for others around us, even if they're not a Christian. Be steadfast in the faith. That means that we stand fast in the confidence that God is enough. Is God enough? Well, He is for me. When I pray, I tell Him. You know, there's times I say, well, Lord, I'd like to have this or that. But you know, really, when I stand back and look, I go, well, those things are only temporary. Those things don't bring any fulfillment. But God, You are enough. Your grace is sufficient for me. I wonder how many times Paul or Peter or John or whoever in the Bible, I wonder how many times they told God the Father, You are enough. You're all I need. Because see, when we do that, it causes God to move. It causes God to open up and pour out His Spirit and pour out His blessings upon each and every one of us. Because God is enough. God is powerful enough. He cares enough. And He will take you through every storm. He really will. God is looking for people that will serve Him and love Him. If you don't love God, and if you don't love other people, you're going to go nowhere. That's just a cold hard fact. The Bible says that God loved us first. God loved us first. And if God loved us first, then God expects us to love others. But we have to love God first. We have to love God above everybody else. And I tell this to my wife all the time. I go, honey, I love God first, way more than I love you. And I love her a lot, but I love God the most because of everything He's given to me and done for me. He gave me His Son Jesus to shed His blood on the cross, and then God raised Him from the dead on the third day. He's given me everything. I get the opportunity day after day to make a difference. I have the opportunities on Sunday morning to stand in the pulpit and preach His Word and preach it how He wants it preached, not what I think. One thing I used to struggle with was I'd go to church and I'd say, well, this is how I think the service ought to go today. And this is what I expect people come to the altar. And when things didn't happen, I'd walk away defeated. And I'd go, well, what was the purpose today then? Well, that's called pride. That's called stubbornness. That's called my own self-will. It was only until I said, Father, as I go to church today, you let happen what You want to happen. Let things go Your way. I don't want them to go my way. And You move on people's hearts like You want to move. See, I'll preach the Word, and I'll preach it with truth, and I'll preach it with love, and I'll preach it as it says, as it stated. Sometimes it may hurt us. I even step on my own toes, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for it because it helps me to walk a more steady walk with the Lord.